Lord God, we call your name in this sanctuary, O Lord. Father, because we know that there is no other name on earth that a man should be saved. Father, Lord God, at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, Jehovah, that you are Lord God Almighty. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the adoration. Blessed be your name, Most High God. In Jesus' mighty name we have worshipped. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. There is none like you, Lord. You are the God of heaven and the earth. There is none like you, Lord. Jesus, there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Savior, there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. You are the God of heaven and the earth. There is none like you, Lord. Savior, none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Father, there's none like you. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, my Redeemer. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised, my Redeemer. You are worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We worship you, Lord. We honor you. We adore you. We exalt you. You are the great and mighty God. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the Alpha, the Omega, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Elroy. There is none like you, O Lord. We thank you. 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 We bless your holy name, O Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, O Lord. We honor you, we adore you. We ask, O Lord, that you please come and teach us your word this night. We thank you for counting us among the living. Help us to be doers of your word in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory, Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. We thank God for this night. Thank God for protecting us and watching over us and granting us journey mercy to and fro for us. Many have gone to work, to school. The Lord has been faithful. The Lord has kept us. The Lord has preserved us. I want us to show more appreciation and thanks to the name of God, because God counts us among the living. It is the Lord that wakes us up to see this day. It's not by our own strength, and it's not by our power. It's not by the alarm clock, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord who visited us every morning. Praise the name of the Lord. So, looking at today's topic, you know, based on what we have been talking about in the news, you know, especially myself, I've been constantly, you know, thinking, even, you know, we've mentioned it before about, you know, the shocking death of Kobe Bryant. And I just keep looking at it as a way of examining myself. You know, what are we really doing? What are we doing on this earth? You know, we all pray for long life, but it is God who determines the time to call us home. You know, we mentioned about this man's death. This is someone who just 41 years old, at the prime of his life, you know, was doing so many other things. You know, it had been almost 4 years since he had retired from basketball. He was doing other things. He recently won an Oscar. He was writing books, you know, doing all these other businesses and things like that. And he was even preparing his daughter, who died with him, to play basketball, and who was very well going to lead, take that legacy that he left behind in basketball and reach even further. So what I'm saying from this is that we all make plans. One of the things this analyst, who was close friends with Kobe, his name is Jay Williams, he talked about, you know, life is short. We make plans, we do this, we do that, but at any time, it's gone, like that, and you can't get it back. So what are we doing as children of God? Are we living the lives that God has called us to live? Are we truly being children of God? Are we just carrying the title in vain? It is our prayer we will not carry the title in vain, in Jesus' name. One of the things that we need to have as children of God, in order to finish well and to finish strong, aside from the strength of the Holy Spirit, is self-control. So that is our topic tonight. We're going to talk about the lack of self-control. The lack of self-control. We'll be taking our reading. Our main text is from Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Praise the Lord. And I read Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, "He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." I'll repeat that again. He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Look at the illustration of what it says when we talk about lack of self-control. It said someone that who doesn't have rule over their own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Imagine a city that has no protection, no guard. What will happen? All manner of things. Praise the name of the Lord. For many of us that have been paying attention to Open Heavens, there has been a certain mini-series of talking about moderation. Yesterday, it was talking about, you know, let your moderation be known, part one. Now they had let your moderation be known, part two. And that is one of the things that is really lacking in the household of faith, unfortunately. And it is our prayer God will help us. In so many areas, is lack of self-control over many things. We hear countless stories of people in the church that are either, it's either they're stealing, they're either committing adultery, they're either doing something that is just against the word of God. Why? Because of lack of self-control. I talked about recently on the news how there was a pastor in Chicago, or somewhere in the United States. He took the funds from the church that was supposed to be towards charity and used it to buy a Bentley, to buy a new car. The tithes and offerings that the church was giving towards a fund, probably they want to raise it towards charity and stuff like that. He now took the money and was using and used it for his own personal expenditure. It is our prayer God will deliver us in Jesus' name. And I brought up that point because this type of thing, it scatters the church, because now people will make the argument, why should we pay tithe? Because someone is now going to use it for something else. This is something that the devil likes to use to distract people into thinking that when you're paying tithe, you're not paying it to God, you're paying it to man. So when children of God have lack of self-control, it not only affects themselves, it affects others. So I'm going to give a definition of self-control from the dictionary, and then I want each and every one of us to give their own definition of what self-control is, and an example, just any example of lack of self-control in any facet, aside from, I mean, beyond the church, like just any example of lack of self-control in the lives of people today. So our dictionary definition talks about, it says self-control is the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. And that's so much true. You never really know what self-control is until you're faced with a trying issue or a challenge or a difficult situation. Prayer and fasting is going on. And let's say the street you're walking, restaurants to the left, restaurants to the right. It takes the strength of the Lord, of course, but we are also to discipline ourselves. That's why the Bible said, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Yes, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit also expects us to discipline ourselves. That's why Apostle Paul said, I die daily. We are to crucify the flesh in us. Praise the Lord. So I would like for everyone to give their own definition of self-control and an example of what the lack of self-control is. Praise the Lord.
So me personally, sometimes when I get to work, I find myself just, you know, either on talking to my sisters. Not that that is bad, talking to my sisters. And when I finish talking to them about 45 minutes, then I begin to look on the computer to look for maybe if I'm going to Dallas, I can spend like 1 hour, 2 hours looking for ticket, trying to see if there's cheap ticket, or trying to plan for something that is like in 4 or 5 months time. And before I know it, 12 o'clock is knocking, 1 o'clock is knocking. So sometimes the Holy Spirit convicts me like look at the 3-4 hours that you have spent, that you have just wasted. Sometimes I feel so, I stop and I say, tell me, account for the 4 hours that you have just spent. And I find myself that I cannot even account for it. So lately I've been asking God to help me, to give me the, to have a conscious effort to account for my, the time that I spend. 1 hour, what have I used the first 1 hour to? So self-control has to do, not having self-control has to do inability to have power over your time. That's for me, my own definition.
There are so many, many things. For me, there are some times that that self-control, I just ask for the grace of God, that God will help me. Because when I'm driving, somebody's nap, I just pass me, I would have said, what is wrong with, before I know, I will control myself and say, did I just do that? You know? So self-control is that ability for you to check yourself in the face of that challenge, because that challenge will come. It will come. It happens to me with food too. Sometimes when I see the food that I like, you have to pray for me, because I will go for it. And then you still coming, I'm still going for it. You know? What Because you see, again, in especially for believers, you have to make it a habit, or even teach yourself through the, you know, by the grace of God, that you'll be able to control or moderate the things you do. You know, there are sometimes I will sit down and God help me. And when you do something, you know, that tantrum will just come and I will start, you know. So these are the things that we need to control. Anger. We talk about Moses. It's not just one day he has that anger. It's been there. I mean, that probably will not, you know, he didn't see it as checking. And you know, God, our God, His mercy endureth forever. We don't know when Moses have been doing this. We saw the one written in the Bible. Before he got up to that level, you know, that must have been, I mean, we saw about two or three occasions where he spoke even rudely to the children of Israel, you know, to call them names, you know. So there are certain things we have to do with prayer and fasting and committing it to God. God can help us. But you know, many of us, we have this you know, tantrum or something like that. But the ability to control it is the most important thing there. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. For me, sir, I believe that self-control is the ability to have a sort of a willpower within you that can help you to control things that can affect you, whether physically or spiritually. I give you an example of myself. When I was going to Nigeria, you know, I looked at it, you know, and that's why sometimes you have to be very careful who you speak to. I look at it, I say, okay, my flight is at 11:45. By that time, by the time we check in, we settle down, and we take off, it's already 12. Fasting will have started. Am I supposed to be eating another? So while I was sitting, you know, I ate, so I called somebody. I won't mention the name. And I said, you know, I'm traveling, and by the time we get into the air, the person said to me, hey, use a different zone time now. Why are you, pastor? Why are you bothering yourself? I said, what do you mean? He said, I know. I said, even the zone time you are talking about is not time. He said, Pastor, God understand. God knows that you are on a journey like this. So I just, after the person dropped, I just sat down and I said, God, help us. You know? And even while I was in the plane, you know, when they started serving the food, they smell it low. And, you know, as they were passing, the guys that sat next to me was looking at me. They brought the food. They were asking, which one do you want? Jollof rice or... say jollof rice. Say, God have mercy. You know? Then in the morning, I mean, in the afternoon when we were about to land, they also brought food. So the man was forced to look at me and say, sir, are you okay? I said, I'm okay. He said, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be in your business. You must be a redeemed member. So I started laughing. I said, why? He said, because it's only redeemed that is still fasting. Of all the believing church in Nigeria, some have done 20 days, 21 days, 15 days. I said, yeah, I'm redeemed. I said it to myself. And he turned. He said, you are strong, sir. You are strong. If it's me, sir, forget it, too. So the Lord will help us. These things are challenges. It's just by His grace. Sometimes you might think you are so strong, but you need to ask God for the grace, because this thing will come. they will come your way. And you don't know by your action those people that you will be affecting. Because at sometimes people look at you, they want to see what you will say, how you will act, how you behave, and the words that comes out. So we should just continue to ask God to give us that grace, that inner power that can help us to control ourselves. Like Daddy said, sometimes, you know, people do things on the road if you are not careful. You know, you can imagine someone that woke up, like they used to say it, on the wrong side of the bed already, and get on the road and somebody cut you off. Forget it. So the Lord will help us that no matter what we face in life, where we need that inner strength to control ourselves, the Lord will give unto us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're talking with lack of self-control, and I'm praying God will help me as well in Jesus' name. I think I mentioned it to you, Pastor. I talked about how when the prayer and fasting program was going to start, that I was going to reduce my time on social media, or I wasn't going to be on it. And the reason why I wanted to do that was I saw what Daddy Gio's son, Pastor Leke, did. He put up a post the day before the fasting started, that he's not going to be on social media. So he's just going to be off social media throughout the whole fasting. And I was saying, you know what, I should do that as well, God willing. So after the first day, I was like, you know, let me just check one thing, and then before you know it, the thing that I said I was going to do, I didn't do it. You know, so God will help us, because that was one of the things our Father and the Lord talked about in moderation. He said that the first thing many of you do when you wake up in the morning, it's your phone. And let's not just talk about social media. In terms of getting up in the morning, the first thing you do, you make calls, so on. Yes, we have prayer conference calls and stuff like that, but it's very important to have that individual quiet time. And that's what I'm also asking God for, the grace to have more time, to spend more time with God. One of the things, you know, even my dad was telling me that, you know, you need to make more time for prayer. And I'll share this. This is sort of a testimony. You know, I've been praying and praying and asking God, you know, looking unto God in terms of work and everything, that God will make a way. And, you know, I was praying and seeking the face of God for just for work. And before that, I got a call that they said that there was this opportunity, although it's a temporary position, there's an opportunity to do this temp job. So they said, we'll call you back for any further details. So after that, you know, when I did my quiet time, I think it was the other day, I was praying for about 30, 45 minutes. And one of the things I like to do now is to turn off my phone when I'm going to pray. So that way, if, you know, someone calls or something, it doesn't disrupt me. So as soon as I finished praying and I turned on my phone, the recruiter now called me and told me, congratulations, you got the temporary position. So you see, when we we're talking about self-control, but we're also talking about seeking the face of God and asking God for that, you know, for that grace. You know, because I was talking about spending time on social media. I used that, instead of spending time on social media, I used that time to pray. In Open Heavens, he was talking about many of us, we spend more time on our phone than the Bible. He said Bible apps are good, but they can still cause distraction. This Bible here doesn't need Wi-Fi. There's no Wi-Fi on it. This is the best version, because you don't need, you when you're reading it, there's not going to be a pop-up of an email. There's not going to be a Facebook notification. There's not going to be a WhatsApp notification that you should call Tunde from Lagos. Nothing like that. This is why people should still hold on to this Bible. This is the best version. Bible apps are good. Our Father and the Lord even talked about, when he goes to sleep, he has the audio Bible on, so that when he's sleeping, as he's preparing to go to sleep, he's hearing the word of God. Praise the name of the Lord. So for those who just came in, our topic is titled Lack of Self-Control. We're talking about lack of self-control, and our main text is Proverbs 25, verse 28, where it says, "He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls." So when we talk about spending more time with God, he said that our Father and the Lord talked about, like, look, if you're getting up in the morning, if you want to see how you can spend more time with the Word of God, he said, make it to the point that your Bible is on top of your phone, so that when you wake up, at least the first thing you're reaching for is is your Bible. So he talked about that. You know, it's not saying that Bible app is not good. It's good. But, you know, there's still that distraction. He talked about you can use audio Bible, because before, you know, I was using audio Bible a lot, especially when I want to wash the plates or I'm cleaning or I'm walking around the house. I will have my wireless headphones and I'll be listening to the audio Bible. And he says it's good to listen to it, especially when you're about to go to sleep. When he talked about moderation and he was talking about food, he said be careful even as you're going to sleep about how you eat. You know, it's not only about what you eat, but also how much of what you eat. You can eat health, you can eat something, but if you eat too much of it, it can also become a problem. He talked about eating fruits and vegetables and try as much as possible to stay away from canned food, processed food. You know, he said to, you know, those type of things. Praise the Lord. So we talk about lack of self-control. When I was talking about social media, you know, I was born in 1992. So I would like to say I'm old enough to know what life was like before social media. Because when I was born, no, it's true. When the year I was born, there was no Facebook, there was no Twitter, there was no Instagram, there was no YouTube. In fact, the Apple company we see now that everyone has their phone, around the time I was in kindergarten, that same Apple company that's making billions was on the brink of bankruptcy at that time. So we look at how technology has changed. Even with text messaging, we see people constantly text. When text messaging first came out, just to say, hi, how are you doing? It was so difficult because you would press one key almost 10 times just to say hi. And then another key, you're pressing 5, 5, 3, 3, 1, 1. So now it's, you know, touch screen. You're just typing it and it's easy. So technology has advanced, but we have to understand that no matter how much technology has advanced, it will never be more powerful than the Word of God. So let us always try to make effort to spend more time with the Word of God, because one of the things the devil is using now is technology to take people from studying the Word of God. Some people will say that, you know, when you tell people to make sure you read your Bible, they will respond to you by saying, yes, I have Bible app. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're reading it. Or some people have the Bible itself or not reading it. So let us always try to have that in mind to spend more time with the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say something. I don't know if we remember when Pastor Thomas came to minister here and he was telling us about the challenges he was having, where when ministration was going on, he discovered that people were fond of going on internet and all that, and that he was really upset because he discovered that a lot of his particular minister in his church, he found that person always on the internet. And so what he did was that he said what he did. I don't remember if we all said what he did. We remember what he did. He told everybody that this coming Sunday, that person is going to be preaching. And when that person is preaching, he wants all of them to bring out their cell phone and be on cell phone. So when the individual was preaching, they were all on the cell phone. And he kept saying, praise the Lord, listen to the Word of God, but nobody paid attention to him. So he said after the service was over, the individual came to him and said, Pastor, we need to do something. How can people be on cell phone when I was preaching? So Pastor Thomas said, start from you. He said, Pastor, you mean I'm always on cell phone? He said, yes. From the minute you walk in to the minute we share grace, you are always on cell phone. So if you want people to listen to you, do me a favor. Do the right thing. So what you are saying, sir, is completely, you know, correct. The Lord will help us. Sometimes we say we are so strong. No, I'm just going to focus on a lot of time. You are gone. And I shared my own, I gave my own experience why I stopped using my iPad. I came to church one day and administration was going on. And before I know it, we were preparing to go to Dallas. Message was going on. I just saw the deal, the flight. I just picked my iPad, ran out to go and buy the flight to go to Dallas. And when I came back aside, and the Holy Spirit said, "We're done." Really? That was the first and the last day. Because I discovered that it was just this. Before you know, you go from one website to another website. And they say, "Amen, amen!" After all, you didn't even hear what they said. God will help us in Jesus' name.
And praise the Lord. For those of us that just came in, we're talking about lack of self-control, and our main text is Proverbs 25, verse 28. So before we have more contributions, I just want to bring in some points on where we talk about self-control. And the first point is to have self-control over your tongue, what comes out of your mouth. For those of us who remembered what Daddy Gio said when the fasting started, is to try not to talk too much unless it's something very important that you have to say. You know, in general, we're supposed to have control over what we say. We can't just talk anyhow. Let us look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." And then if we look at James 1:19, it also talks about the tongue. James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Slow to speak. Some people would like to say, I have to say my own. I have to say this. I have to say. Sometimes it's best to just not say anything. Praise the Lord. That brings me to the next point. Self-control over anger. Self-control over anger. A lot of people cannot control their emotions. They get easily upset about everything and anything. Let us look at Proverbs 16, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs 16, verse 32. It says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." And let's look at Proverbs 29, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11. It says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." When you're the type of person, you just talk. Just say anything. And then we talked about self-control over food. Philippians 3:19. Self-control over food. Philippians 3:19. Philippians 3:19 says, "Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things." Praise the Lord. So I want us to look at those two points where I said, well, the three points, but looking at self-control over your tongue and self-control over your food. You can relate that to the young prophet and the old prophet story. Because when you look at the young prophet, he lacked self-control over his tongue and lacked self-control over his food. What do I mean by that? Let us look at 1 Kings 13, verse 11 to 25. 1 Kings 13, verse 11 to 25. First Kings chapter 13, verses 11 to 25. It says, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they also told their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said, Come home with me and eat bread." Now, if we go back and look at this story very well, God had told him not to keep going, not to stay at anyone's place to eat or anything. And look at what he said. "And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place." He could have just stopped right there and said, "No, I'm not going to eat." But he went further and said, "For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go way thou camest." And he said unto him, "I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him." Our God is not a God of confusion. And also with the young prophet, he was talking, and now talking about that, "Oh, God said that I shouldn't, if anyone tells me to come and eat, I shouldn't go and eat with them." All he had to tell the old prophet was, "No, I'm not going to eat," and move on. He now allowed the old prophet to deceive him. Why? Because he loved food. He lacked self-control over food. Praise the Lord. So the next point we talk about, if we look at, we know what happens in that story, how he now went to go and eat with him, and as he was journeying back, a lion came and tore him into pieces because he disobeyed the Lord. It is our prayer that God will help us. We will not lack self-control over food, over what we say, over anything in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. Solomon lacked self-control when it came to women. Let us look at 1 Kings 11, 1 to 3. 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. It says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning with the Lord, said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart." So we talked about Solomon, we talked about the young prophet. We can also talk about Esau, who lacked self-control over food to the point that he was willing to sell his birthright. Now we can give examples of those who had self-control. What about Joseph? Joseph had self-control to the point he refused to sleep with Potiphar's wife. He had everything. He was in Potiphar's house. He was helping clean and everything, but he refused to lie with Potiphar's wife. He said, "How can I do this great wickedness against God?" We can talk about Apostle Paul, where he said, "I die daily. For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain, and to live is with Christ." Praise the Lord. So are there any more contributions on lack of self-control? What must we do? Okay.
There's this
Caucasian man, whenever he's at the gate to look at people's receipt, I'm always like, not angry, but I'm just indifferent about him. So anytime he's the one, if I spot him that he's the one that is going to look at my card, I just like frown my face, because for some reason I think it's just stereotyping, you know, black folks. So I have this set mind about him. So today, it happened that when I went to Costco to pick up some, it was actually the one. So I just went to him. So as I was reading the receipt, I just flung everything on my cart, like for him to see that. What do you want to look at in my cart? There's nothing there. So I don't know. He just gave me back the receipt and I left. I was inside of me. I was really, you know, I was angry. I wasn't angry. I was just pissed about him generally. So the guy, as I took like 3-4 steps, said, "Ma'am, come back." So I said, "Go, Father, just take up." I was already about to like, what? So I said, "Say, ma'am, come back." I said, "Okay." Say, "Yes, can I help you? How many times did you ring the chicken wing?" I said, "One time." I said, "Bring your receipt." So I gave him back my receipt. I said, "Does it not show that I paid for the chicken wing?" So the guy said, no. I could see that you rang the chicken wing two times." And that was about $11. And he said, "You need to get your money back." And I began to repent. I said, Holy Spirit, forgive me. But have mercy upon my soul. I was angry. There was no reason for me. The poor man was just doing his job. I guess it was just my self-ignorance. I know that is lack of self-control. I was just out of it because I had I already had a mindset about him. And I was, any time I see him, I say, "Father, just have mercy on me. God Almighty, help us in Jesus' name. Amen."
Praise the Lord. So for those who just came in, if you can give your definition of self-control and then an example of lack of self-control and how to overcome it. So, Brother Shalaga. Sorry.
Praise God. This is well. quite an interesting topic. I was thinking about this earlier today when I was it today or yesterday? I was just thinking about it. And what I define self-control as is being able to hold yourself back from the things that you derive pleasure from. So there are so many things that we like to do that are not good for us, that we like to do, and there are things that are good for us as well that we also have to do. So like food, for example, like sleep, like any other thing that is good for us, but we don't need to do them in excess. We just need to do them enough to survive, just enough. Enough sleep to be okay, enough food to be okay, and not be controlled by those things. I think that's what self-control is. And personal experience, so I shared this one time in the Bible study. I'll share a bit of it again. You know how we used to say that, I am not, I'm not proud until you are in a situation where you realize that, okay, this thing actually touches you much closer than you expect it to. That's when you realize that, okay, there's a bit of pride somewhere inside you. It's just that the situation that allow it to show has not happened, right? So I used to pride myself that I'm not proud. I'm very humble. I play with everybody. There's nobody I don't play with. Even the smallest person, I play with them. And yet, even in this church, there have been moments where I had gotten, should I say, angry or upset with people. And analyze it and not think about it. Why was I angry? Because the truth is, you have to really dig down. And what I said, I was thinking about it today, is that nobody can tell you the truth about yourself than yourself. Once you are lying to yourself, there's nothing anybody else is going to tell you that is going to work. So I have to really like dig down myself and think, why am I angry? Because yes, you might be angry at what somebody said to you, but are you really angry because you feel, I'm older than this person, or you feel like you are more superior to that person, or you are wiser than that, you know, being able to hold yourself back from those things that you feel are your right, so to speak. And another major one for me that I'm praying to God for help is sleep. Me, as I am like this, I like sleep, because that's the only way I can ease the stress of life, you know, like just sleep it away. Whenever I'm even bodied, I have something on my mind, I'm thinking too much, almost just leave me alone, I'll just sleep. Once I sleep, I wake up, that thinking has gone. So I'm praying that God will help me to reduce my sleep, because you know all these motivational speakers now, they'll say you have to be sleeping only 3 hours every day. How realistic that is, I don't know. You are still sleeping. Wall Street has already opened. They are already doing bang, bang, bang. Their stock has already cleared up. And you are sleeping. You know? That's how they used to say it now. So I'm just saying. You see, you have to be sleeping.
I get what he's saying. He's talking about most of these successful people.
They'll tell you they don't sleep.
They lose sleep.
They don't sleep.
That's what
he's
talking about.
You are sleeping and Wall Street is already trading. It's not exactly. I was just trying to... whether it is true or not, we don't know. We don't even live with them. I just know that I want to reduce my sleep and be able to survive on little sleep. I don't know how it works, though. So if there's anybody that has a secret, praise God.
Praise the Lord. Incidentally, you're sleeping very well. Is good for your health. If you don't sleep 7 hours every day, it's not good. You see, a lot of people who sleep 3 hours, they are under stress. You see, they will just see that there is something in their mind that keeps them from sleeping. Because sleeping supposed to make your body rest. Yet, and if you don't sleep, you know, enough, it is detrimental to your health. So that's the issue. What I want to say about this lack of I look at my sister here. My sister said something, and since that day I will never forget. He sat down here. He was talking about, I think what Brother Ajibade was talking about. About her, he said, and I look at it and I say, of a truth, I do that too, because for sometimes women, when we are talking, we just get carried away. And I continue to watch my sister. You will not see my sister, she will not engage you in any. Once she says it softly, it's gone. And I continue to, I said, of a truth, especially the thing that she talked about, that's what she's practicing. You hardly see my sister engage us, be talking. Probably at home, I don't know, but every time I have observed her, she's always like that. She doesn't say too much. Praise the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Parashola. Parashola. Sister Yemi has reported you. That even if the baby is crying, you will not get up. Please get up. Help our sister. After 6 hours sleep, wake up. Praise the Lord. Excuse me. The census is too much. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to add to it that the Lord will help us, particularly to control ourselves. Just like my wife said, and Brother Shola said, we need to ask God for grace. Because sometimes there are certain things we perceive in a certain way. And sometimes it's not actually true. It's not. That's why you need to ask God for grace. Sometimes you look at things and you think it's this way, you know. But then you come to find out that the person does not even mean any harm. They are just doing their normal duty in life. Or they are just doing what they are supposed to do. It might come across to you wrongly, or maybe because of the way you see them, you know. But above it all, you just realize that they are doing their job. I'll give you a simple example. When I got to Nigeria, and I noticed that they started doing something, I was asking everybody, like, what the heck is this? Now, if you come into Nigeria, and you are even carrying a Nigerian passport, the moment they are able to prove that you are not residing in Nigeria, automatically they are taking your fingerprint and your picture. They were not doing it before. And then when and I was already bottled up, because I'm wondering, like, okay, what's this nonsense? I'm not coming with a British, with a foreign passport now. Why are my pictures being taken? And I got to the man, I gave him my Nigerian passport. He opened it. He said, what's your occupation? I wanted to say to him that, what is your problem with my occupation? I said, well, I'm an accountant by profession. He said, do you reside in this country? I said, no. He said, sir, all right, thank you, sir. Please move back. I need to take your picture. I was like, for what? So the man smiled. Well, I said, I'm sorry, it's not the fight. You see that we have been banned from going to U.S. It's part of this. I said, what do you mean it's part of this? He said, because we have been accused that we don't have data of people who are not a permanent resident in this country that comes in and out. And most of those people are the ones committing the crime. And at the end of the day, the government of the United States comes back and say, show us the data. And then we can't prove. We have no picture to show when this person came in and when this person came out. Say, so it's not a fight, sir. Trust me, it's adding more to the job I'm doing here. I would have loved to just take your passport, stamp it, welcome home. Say, but I have to. Because now we need to do this to prove to them that we too can monitor ourselves. So it's not something that I want to do. So he said, this is, and yes, and we need to do this because without us showing them this, there's no way they are going to take the name off. He said, as you are standing here, sir, I don't know among those who are standing here who has been sent to come and look at us. And that's what they've been doing, and none of us took note of it. So we just have to ask God for grace to help us, so that in every situation, we don't react for what does not really need to react to. And then, you know, so that at the end, you know, things can work out the way it should be. And I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Are there any more contributions? Okay. Praise the Lord. So I want us to pray. I just want us to pray one prayer that God will help us, that we will not be our own worst enemy, and that the grace to have self-control, the Lord will release it unto us in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, Jehovah, King of glory, Ancient of days, O Lord, we thank you, we bless your holy name, we worship you, we honor you, we adore you, O Lord. We ask, O Lord, please help us, O Lord, to have self-control. We ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us, O Lord. Father, Lord Almighty, we ask for the grace to guide our heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, Lord, we thank you, we honor you, we adore you, O Lord. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that which you have taught us tonight, O Lord. We ask that you help us to be doers of your word all the days of our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask, O Lord, for the grace to have self-control in all that we do. We ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us and direct us, and that we shall all finish well in Jesus' name. For in Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Shall we please stretch our hands and pray for our brother? Say, Father, Thank you for your son. Thank you for how you have used him tonight. Father, what he has taught will not stand against him on the judgment day. Help him to have self-control. Help him, you know, to be able to do that which you have called him to do. Let him end.